Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, it's beautiful and sunny in my neck of the woods. I'm telling you, there's a breeze coming in through my window and it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful summer day after yesterday's torrential rains all day long. Torrential rain. I mean, it was just nonstop raining. But by the grace of God, we survived that day, and look how the Lord has rewarded us with this beautiful day. Now, today we have a wonderful show for you because we're continuing to analyze the tithing scam, which has morphed. Sister AJ has brought it to our attention that Creflo Dollar is a leopard who wants to change the spots on his fur, and he wants us to know that after 30-plus years of scamming people and telling them that tithing was a must and you were going to be cursed with a curse if you didn't tithe, now Creflo has repented, and now he's a horse of a different color. He's a leopard with no spots now. Well, other members of the crime family have rebuffed Creflo, and this is where we left off last week. We were having a great, great time. This is a great series. And, of course, you know, tithing is biblical, but tithing is not for today. Then you say, how do we support our local churches? Well, we support our local churches with love offerings. Love. You give because you love the Lord. You give because you love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and you want to make sure that everybody has a place that they can come to worship the Lord. And you also love the lost. In other words, that building called the church where we meet, it's an opportunity for us, the church, to witness to the lost, bring them in that building, have them discipled, have them taught. So this is why we give. We love the Lord, and we love the saints of God, those members of the household of faith. And then, of course, we love evangelism. We love soul winning. That's why we give. Not because we're getting from God, because he's already given to us. He's already given us all things. So I'm not giving to get more. For that, I just put my money in the stock market. For that, you know, other people, you know, a lot of people, when I go shopping, for example, the other day I was at a gas station and I wanted to get a couple of dollars in gas. And I had cash, so I had to go inside. And there was a guy there, and he was getting these scratch-off tickets. And I kid you not, I was behind this guy more than 10 minutes because he would tell the girl, let me have a number 7. And she would go over to where the number 7 scratch-off tickets are. She would pull one out. Then he'd say, give me a number 24. And he went, I mean, this went on for 10 minutes. The guy paid like $200-something in scratch-off tickets. And let me tell you, New York State has all kinds of scratch-off games. And they're created to do what? For you to take a chance. You make that kind of willy-nilly investment in hopes that you win the $100,000 prize or whatever prize that clown was going for. So, yeah, we don't give to God to get. We give to the Lord. And of course, when we say we're giving to the Lord, we know we're giving to the local church, where there are people there voted in by the members who are the trustees and the treasurer, and they've been voted in, and if they've done anything wrong, they get voted out. A local church where there's transparency, a local church where you get a quarterly report, and the little church that I pastor, there's a quarterly report. Everybody gets it. And they know who gets what. And there's no hiding anything. And that's the way it's been since that church was founded in 1874. The quarterly reports every 3 months. So I like that. I like that they're transparent. So without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ as I deal with my persistent coughing here. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to the series, today's broadcast, because, you know, we left it off with Ivy Hilliard, Dr. Ivy Hilliard, you know, making
right.
his points there and sounding so eloquent and sounding so theological and sounding so erudite. Right?
Making absolutely no sense in the process of all that.
Absolutely. And he wants his sons and daughters to know. He wants, in other words, the people he's been scamming all these years, he wants them to know that there's benefits in tithing and how he worked in a factory and then he gave the tithe and all magically the next week he got a promotion.
Right.
The next week.
Maybe you were just up for the promotion to begin with. Sometimes jobs really do reward you for hard work and being dependable and all the things that they look at.
Sure. There are people in church who tithe who never get a promotion. And the reason right. being is because on the job, they're bums. They're bums.
right.
So
right.
it has nothing to do with you tithing. It has to do with you showing up on time, doing the work, wanting to advance, putting in the hour, putting in the hard work. That's how mm-hmm. you advance. Because, Sister
right.
AJ, look at the other people on the job that were working with Mr. What's Ivy Hilliard. There were other people there who also were promoted.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tithe. How do we know if they tithe? Maybe they were out, they were drunkards. Who knows? I had a boss. He was a functioning alcoholic. Functioning. Hated God.
Mm-hmm.
Hated everything. And the guy was brilliant. He was just brilliant. Right? And, I mean,
right.
he ran the whole company. He ran the whole company. He wasn't a tither. So none of those arguments make any sense. None of them.
None. But, I mean, that's the teaching. You know, you give to get, and these things that happen, financial windfalls or ideas that could make money, they tell you that when that happens, you get – it's because of tithing and offerings because I was watching this church – that I'm familiar with, they had a video up of people giving testimonies about different things that happened that they believe was because they tithe and the first fruits and all that stuff. And one lady was describing, I guess it was this student loan forgiveness program or something like that she was applying for, and she was talking about how she tithes, and at first she didn't understand it, but she did it anyway because the pastor said, and she talked about how she got awarded this loan forgiveness, but in the testimony she's describing the mountains of the work she did and had to turn that paperwork in and go through an approval process in order to get this program to see if she qualified. So I'm sitting there listening to it thinking, well, that had nothing to do with tithing or first fruits. Do you think
sure.
I would be impressed if she got picked up for this program if she hadn't done all this paperwork and went through the process to get
mm-hmm.
it?
Right.
Then maybe I might be impressed or somewhat convinced. You know, we know it's a lie, but, you know, people believe that these things happen because they tithe. You know, if she wasn't a tither,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe she wouldn't have got picked for the program. It's like she filled out the paperwork and she qualified. You know, I don't get it. But that's what they teach you. That's how they brainwash you. So if you happen to pick up a couple of quarters off the ground or you find a dollar out there on the ground somewhere, it's because you're tired.
Yeah. I mean, my wife worked in human resources, and the company only had
mm-hmm.
it had a human resource department, and my wife was it. My wife was the whole department. And
okay.
There was another woman named Miriam, Latina like my wife, Latina, and she came in way after my wife, and all of a sudden she just started to go up through the ranks until finally she was like the next boss. You had the owner, and then you had this lady, Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody knows why she went up the rank. She wasn't a tither like my wife. She was doing the boss's favors. That's how she
right.
got promoted.
Right.
Right? So, listen, promotions and all kinds of stuff happen for different reasons.
Yes.
But I can assure you that if you do not apply yourself, if you don't show up on time, if you don't do the work, if you don't perform, if you don't produce, you can forget about a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Even
and
if
sometimes
you're tired.
Sometimes it's not even about just doing the basics. You got to go extra a lot of times because it's competition for those promotions.
Right. Now, listen, in Ivy Hilliard's church, you're never getting promoted. Why? Because you ain't blood.
Right.
You're not one of his kids or grandkids. Therefore, you get no promotion. You get no position there. None whatsoever.
Yeah, it's all in the Hilliard crime family. That's the only ones that get any type of position at all, or someone that they bring close to them for whatever other reason.
Right. Right. Now notice how none of these guys who are screaming now screamed when John Gray was dragging the church through the mud through his scandals. Nobody said nothing, right? Or when the other scandals in the church took place, nobody said nothing. The moment you mentioned tithes, forget it. You stirred up a hornet's nest.
That's messing with the bunny. You don't mess with the money. So yeah, that's why all the pimps in Pimpville and George Bloomer basically just said, you know what, you need to give people their money back then. And he fired a shot off the starboard bow right off the bat. And then he's like, we need to get together in a room and talk about this.
Right, right, right. But again, you know, it's just, you know where their priorities lie.
Right.
That's
always
the,
with the money.
Always with the money. Don't mess with that money.
But do you
really think
what Creflo is doing is going to affect it that much?
No. Of course, they are defending their own little plantation. See, because if Creflo gives the idea that he's letting all his Kunta Kintes off the plantation, then all the other Kunta Kintes on the other plantations also want that same deal.
Right.
Because it spreads. Now with the internet,
you're right.
It just spreads. So
they want those,
that's why
Ivy Hilliard wants his Kuntas to know, no, you're not Kunta Kinte, you Toby around here.
That's right.
And,
absolutely.
And if you try to leave, I'm cutting your foot off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's sad. It's just sad. But, you know, hey, they have to bring the people in line. They have to work overtime to bring the people in line. And notice, Ivy Hilliard, I mean, he did a whole half hour.
Yes, he did. Rod Parsley did, 15-minute little mini teaching. And now Hilliard's getting ready to do more than 30 minutes.
Right. Yes. And if you notice, Ivy Hilliard blew his top because his brain wasn't there. He had to put that little knit cap on his head just to hide the fact that he blew his top.
Right. He wasn't happy.
Yep.
Hey, he did another video right after this one with a couple of his little sycophants, and that was more than an hour. But I decided I didn't want to use that one.
Right.
So he did two videos on this.
He did two.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, again, you know, Ivy Hilliard's got a lot to lose. These people have a lot to lose.
Or maybe his daughter, because isn't his daughter running his main church now? Now, Ivan Hilliard is still around and doing stuff, but he gets
the kickback. These guys get the kickback. Listen, Ivy Hilliard gets his entire salary. His wife, who was his co-pastor, gets her entire salary. See, look, Ivy Hilliard figured this out.
And then he's a bishop, so he's getting, you know, paid kickbacks and gifts from it, whoever he's over.
Look, this is how they figure it out. Okay, I got my daughter Tanisha, whatever her name is. I'm going to make her the pastor. And
mm-hmm.
remember, we did a show on her and how they gave her $120,000, right?
Yeah, just to start off, yeah.
To start off, right? Okay. I remember you doing that show. Okay, now, Ivy Hilliard does this, which they all do, by the way. All right, son, I'm going to give you the church. Okay, daughter, I'm going to give you the church. Now, Mama gets her check in full. I get my check in full. My car, my medical, everything gets paid like normal. Like normal. Now, Mama and I are going to get on the plane, and we're going to be traveling to visit all our children's churches. When the bishop shows up, then they're going to grease my palm there.
Right. When
See?
He does conferences, that he gets money that way.
He's got conferences, visits. He's got prophetic words. He's got people calling him up. He's got all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you the story. I was with a group of people. And we were down in Florida doing some financial work. In other words, there was a training on finances. Pastors have to keep up with the new IRS laws and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go periodically to these trainings because laws change. So I went down with a friend of mine, and then I was in that person's car with a bunch of other people, and we were all sharing the gas. And on the way back, the person said, we have to stop off at Tampa because one of my daughters in the gospel wants me to preach at the church. Okay.
Right.
So we get there. There's a little storefront. There was maybe 15, 20 people, right?
Right.
They forced them at the end. We have to give this leader of ours $1,500. So now I know why that person wanted to stop off at this church. It's not about bringing a word to one of my daughter churches. No, it's you're going to grease my palm.
Right.
I was so disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset. Poor people in Tampa. They're poor. They're poor people in a little storefront. And they're squeezing $1,500 because the man of God is here. I said, never again, Lord. Never again. I've seen too much. Never again. Lord,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be any part of this. That's what it is. They're just sticking people up. Now, can
right.
you imagine that's a little storefront church and that person squeezed $1,500? Can you imagine what Ivy Hilliard's squeezing out every time him and his wife go, plus hotel?
Yeah, all
right?
expenses paid usually.
Everything. It's a racket. It's a
mm-hmm.
racket. That's why he's defending the tithe, because that whole empire of his will come crumbling down. So he's got to go back into his history and talk about how he didn't even have the steel boot shoes and he was working and thought he was going to get fired because he didn't have the right equipment and blah, blah. Please stop it.
That's what he does. That's part of his shtick when he's holding you up.
Yep. Sure. Yep. Sad. It's just sad. But this is what, you know, that's what it is. It just, I'm
so
sorry. I'm just, I'm coughing.
I was just gonna say, if you're ready to go ahead and get started with the video, we left off at 8:41 on Ivy Hilliard last week.
Okay, here we go. Where did we leave off?
Something else today, but
8:48:41.
All right.
Or as
could
close to
back?
That as you can get.
Could I could I bring it back to 5 minutes?
Yeah, just to get absolutely.
Just to get a thread here.
Right, absolutely.
Having his expectation of it and declaring material blessings on those who practice the principle. Malachi 3:8-10. Now Jesus, in mentioning the tithing, said, "These ye ought to have done." Matthew 23:23, in an endorsement of tithing. To attempt to nullify this endorsement of Jesus concerning the tithe is misleading and violates exegesis of Scripture, and this is more of an eisegesis. I, along with most earnest readers of the Scripture text, would agree that Jesus said exactly what he meant. He could have specifically done away with the order of tithing because he came to fulfill the law for righteousness. But because tithing predates the law, he did not strike it down. I will not argue with the faith. I will not argue with the finished work of Jesus canceling the curses under the law of Moses. It is so. And since tithing predates the law of Moses and is a principle of increase, not to practice the principle and expect the promised increase from the obedience is unconscionable.
Let's just talk about how he says that the tithing predates the law. Okay, so let's look at the first tithe. The tithe of the spoils of war. Okay?
Right, that's usually where they start with this.
Right. Who's going to give that today? Well, the answer would be nobody. Why would it be nobody?
Right.
Well, because Jesus said, you're to pray for your enemies. You're to feed your enemies. Right?
Right.
You're to love on your enemies. So there wouldn't be any spoils from war from that because I'm not under the Old Testament. I'm not out there hacking somebody with a sword or with a hatchet, right? So that one would not apply. And then let's look at Jacob's. What was Jacob going to tithe to God? Sheep and goats. That's what he was going to tithe to God. Who has sheep and goats in the church? Who down in New York City has sheep and goats?
Not too many people have them.
Right? Okay, so, let's say, well, it has to be a paycheck. Okay, so you said it has to be that. Okay. Show me where the common practice in the Old Testament was to give tithes and offerings outside of Israel. You can
Nowhere.
Never find. Never.
Because they didn't start, God instituted it and it gave them instructions on how to do it and what constituted the tithe, but they didn't actually start practicing it until they got into the land.
Right. And Moses said, in so many words, the tithe, which is holy unto the Lord, can only come from the boundaries of the Holy Land.
So are you saying Jewish people today that are outside of that land don't pay tithes?
They do not pay tithes. And okay. you ask any Jew, do you pay tithes today? They'll laugh. They'll laugh. And one of the reasons why they don't is because the money they make, first of all, none of it is agricultural.
Right.
Right? Number two, they have no legitimate priesthood to give it to. There's no legitimate.
Right.
There are no Levites
around.
Remember, you cannot be self-appointed. Ivy Hilliard is self-appointed. Creflo Dollar is self-appointed. So you are not appointed by a true body of priests. Why? Because that doesn't exist anymore. So you are illegitimate. You don't get nothing. And since all this money is made in New York and in Georgia and wherever, it doesn't come from the Holy Land. You're not supposed to tithe. Nothing mm-hmm. outside of the Holy Land is to be given to the Lord. See? And they don't.
Now,
they
can give free will offerings and stuff like that, but they don't give tithes, right?
Right.
Free will offerings was always welcome. Even under the law, God makes provision for that.
Right. What they have is an annual due. Jews that go to a synagogue, they all have a flat, mind you, annual due. For example, I go to the Little Falls. Excuse me, I'm just having a hard time today. I go to the Little Falls Theater. When my membership is up, I have a membership for 6 people. When my membership is up, I renew it. My membership right now is $350 a year. To go to mm-hmm. now, what I can do with that membership is they usually release movies on Thursdays. They start Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. With that membership, I can see any movie I want as many times as I want. Me and my wife and my 4 children can go to the movie theater for $350 a year. I can see any movie I want
mm-hmm.
as many times as I want, right? But
right.
I cannot go and watch the movie on premiere weekend. In other words, the first weekend that it's out, that first Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I'm not allowed to see it. But Monday, I can be right there, right? So that's what mm-hmm. we have. We pay a flat rate. And I'm telling you, in 2 months, we've already used the $350. In 2 months. And my kids love it. Because whenever their friends say, hey, we'll meet you at the movies, my kids say, where's the card? And they go and watch the movie with their friends. I don't ever have to say to my kids, now they already know the rules. You can't go the first Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But after that, I mean, you know, you can go see it as many times as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same way in a synagogue. Everyone who's a member of the synagogue pays a flat fee for the whole year. It's a due. From that, the rabbi gets paid. From that, the cantor gets paid. From that, the bills get paid. It's a flat fee. There are no tithes. There are no offerings. There's a flat fee. Now, if they are, let's say they have a cake sale or they have a special project, they may have tickets or whatever, and you want to participate in that, that's fine, but no one's going to break your legs. No one's going to break your kneecap because you didn't buy the rabbi's banquet ticket. Okay?
Right. Okay.
So anyone would go to church if there was a flat fee. Now, in England, they had a thing called the pew tithe, P-E-W, pew tithe. And some churches had it, and some churches abolished it. And the pew tithe was a flat fee. It wasn't really even a tithe. It was just a flat fee that you paid. And then that booth, those seats belonged to you and your family.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, in a little black Baptist church that my family went to, I remember my mother paying church dues at one time. But I hadn't heard that in a long time. So maybe they did away with it at some point. But I remember some churches used to pay, the members paid dues.
Correct. Correct. Now, some churches had the tithe. Some churches had the dues.
Mm-hmm.
But it was their way. It was their way of saying, hey, this is my church. I want the doors to remain open. This is where I come to get fed, and I want to contribute. But it was a flat fee.
Yeah.
Rich people didn't pay more. Poor people didn't pay more. It was a flat fee.
Okay.
So now in these churches,
maybe they discovered that you could get more money if you asked for the tithe plus offerings and all this other stuff.
Well, again, a lot of these things started with good intentions. But whenever you're dealing with the carnal heart of man, at some point it's going to go bad.
Right.
Because, this pastor could be a man of God who loves the Lord, but the next one, can have issues with money. You see?
Right.
And that's where it gets spotty. That's when it gets, it changes from one administration to another. Because the leader changes. So it is what it is. So, all right, let's go back to,
I will agree that many pastors and many preachers have used the threat of the curse as a fear tactic to enforce that teaching and the compulsion to persuade people to give. It is wrong to do so because the curse for not tithing, as mandated under the law, has been canceled. If under the law of Moses, we get insight into the heart of God on the matter, and God gave the law to Moses, it must be carefully examined. Now, Moses did not come up with the law himself, but was the recorder of the law. God's heart was that a tenth part of a person's increase should be given to honor him. And not to do so is considered robbery. Well, and it's still so. Because of the finished work of Jesus, the consequence for the robbery has been paid for, but it is still robbery nonetheless.
What are you talking about? How could Jesus pay for the robbery, but it's robbery nonetheless?
I think that, and plus, Jesus went to be an atonement for sin. It wasn't about money per se. I mean, he's confusing me, I have to say. Like
you're,
you said,
no, you're
Jesus
absolutely
paid.
You're absolutely right because the law had many components to it, right? There's a redemptive component. There's a redemptive component to the law, and there's a worship component to the law.
Right.
Worship is one thing. Redemption is something else. When Jesus went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, that was the redemptive part. Because if I give tithes and my tithes get me right with God, then I have just bought my salvation.
Right. You don't need the redemptive part that Jesus paid for on the cross.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, By the way, there is no record anywhere in the first four centuries of the church that the church ever gave tithes. None. None.
Nope.
None.
They took
this
up
is a
offerings.
Modern, this
and
is
it,
a modern
and
day.
It was, yeah, they took up offerings all the time to help other saints in need, like what you were talking about before we came on, that, you know, you love the church, you love the people of God, and you give in order to help. But I don't even know where it was a constant thing where they were always asking for money, but as a need arose, then they addressed it materially.
Right, right. Now, I can tell you where things got out of whack. When I was a little boy in the church in the 1960s, we had an old pastor, an old-time pastor. And there was a young man in the church, a young man, homegrown. He was homegrown. And he was a phenomenal preacher, the young man. And the church didn't want to lose the young man. They didn't want the young man to go and start pastoring another church. So they said to the old-time faithful pastor, do you think you can retire a little early? And the old-time faithful pastor did not want to retire. But this was one of his sons in the gospel, and he could see that he was gifted, right? So the old-timer retired. And the young guy took over. The young guy put the church on radio. We were the only Spanish church with a radio broadcast, and the church was, the church was a booming. But with Saul comes expenses.
Yes.
Anytime you have a peacock preacher, you have what? Expenses. You read Samuel when he says in 1 Samuel 8, when he tells the Israelites, you wanted a king like other nations, read what he will do to you.
Yes.
Look, and Samuel enumerates, oh, you want that? You're going to pay through the nose.
Here's
and
what
that's
it'll be
happened.
Like to have a king.
There you go. And that guy that I'm talking, which today is still alive, by the way, the pastor that I grew under, he's still alive today. He lives in Staten Island. He's suffering today from dementia, which I was very sad to hear. He's suffering from dementia. And when I graduated from Bible college, he hired me as an assistant pastor, and I only lasted a year because I saw so much corruption. And I was devastated in my heart to see the corruption on the inside. But that's what happens. 90% of the church money goes to support the peacock.
Right.
And this is why, and we had
paid
a massive
for
church.
To be on TV and the radio.
There you go.
And all these other expenses that come up when you're trying to grow a church that way.
Right. And he was right to brag. We did have a radio broadcast. And it was heard by so many Spanish churches. And, you know, we were the cutting-edge church. But every one of those projects forced factory blue-collar people to pay through the nose.
Yep.
See? That's what happened. So now this is what happened. His popularity was going and his invitations were growing. So when he would go out and speak at these conventions and at these other big churches, he wasn't bringing that money back and putting it back in the church coffers. No, that went into his pocket. But we were still paying through the nose for everything. You see, and that's the racket that these guys have. That's the racket. They don't want to lose that.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't want to lose it. So, all right, here's more.
If the price for incest was paid for through the finished work of Jesus, it does not mean that incest is okay now. but it is still wrong and displeasing to God. We thank God for his mercy and thank God for his grace. There is nothing wrong with a church culture that has a criteria of its leadership adhering to the mandated principle of tithing.
Sure, there's something wrong with church culture because it's not Christ culture. See, that's
right.
The problem. Who's the head of the church? The head of the church is Jesus. Did he say it? No. You're saying it. You created the church culture that enslaves people.
Right.
That's
right.
Christ. So, yeah, and I'm glad he says church culture because it's not Christological. It didn't come from Christ. That's, you know.
These are the traditions of man that can make the word of God of no effect, right?
Sure. Absolutely. And that's why James says, you know, if you have a guy, poor guy who's sitting on the front row and a rich man comes in and you give the poor guy in the front row the boot so that you can put the rich man on the front row, like T.D. Jakes who sells preferred seating at MegaFest
mm-hmm.
and at every event. He's got preferred seating.
Yes, he does.
He's going against what James says, but they
and
don't care.
A story with Ivy Hilliard, remember when Kanye West was doing his little church services thing, and Jamal Bryant brought Kanye to New Birth, but at the same time, Kanye was going to be there, because, see, these guys figured, you know, it's going to be some people there just to see Kanye. And in Atlanta, they've got a lot of entertainers and rappers and stuff that were probably going
right.
to be coming since Kanye was there. And so, Jamal also brought Ivy Hilliard in, and Ivy raised up another offering. And there's this certain rapper, he goes by the name of T.I., And he
right.
was on this podcast talking to one of his buddies about the experience, and he basically saw the con and the hustle from the jump street. And there was a picture of T.I. going around the internet with his face all jacked up because he was listening to what Ivy Hilliard was saying to get people, to 20 people to give $1,000. And T.I.
oh my
was
goodness.
Saying that he and his group came in late. And they just wanted to find a seat and sit somewhere so they could be there to support Kanye. But when they saw them coming in, related to what you just said from James,
mm-hmm.
they brought those guys all the way up back to the front row and had them sit there on the front row while Ivy Hilliard was doing this twenty people give $1,000 or something like that, and T.I. was livid. First, he's like, "Wow, we all late and everything, and I don't want to go up front and sit." So they knew these guys were coming in that had the money, and
yep.
so they raked them over the coals again. And T.I. was saying, "Why are we even collecting another offering when I just saw Jamal Bryant take up an offering?"
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
because,
they wanted
again,
them guys with the money right up there at the front.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they put you in the front also to shame you. I remember
yeah.
one time. Roy Brown, Bishop Roy Brown had, he purchased a church in Newark, and it was a former theater, and he jazzed up that theater. And I went with an attorney friend of mine who was a member of Roy Brown's church, Bishop Roy Brown. And so each bootlicking bishop under Roy Brown each came up with $20,000 from their church. This
mm-hmm.
is for our father. The Honorable Archbishop, okay, so each one, they have so he's getting $20,000 checks from his spiritual sons and their congregations. Then it went, after that circus, now they come to us. And they start out with $1,000, okay, And what they do is they shame you because they say, okay, now you come up and give you $1,000. Mm-hmm. And I was on the front row. I just sat there. They went down from 1,000 to 500. They called, I just sat there. When they, listen, they went to $50. They went down to $50. I just sat there. When they mm-hmm. said, okay, everybody else come now, that was me.
Everybody
and I
else.
Gave a dollar. And when they,
right.
you, after the $50 is the lowest, they said, okay, now everybody else come. And
that, right.
and guess who was watching me come up and give my $1? Archbishop Roy Brown.
Right.
They're not suckering me.
Right. And that's what this rapper T.I. was saying, that his buddy, the guy next to him, another rapper, he was digging in his pocket trying to get, and T.I. looked at, said he looked at him like, man, what you doing? You better put
right.
that money back.
Sure.
He said he had the money, but he just didn't like being hustled, you know,
right.
and that's what I, so, you know, that's another story with Ivy Hilliard and how he does to extort money out of people, especially when they see rich people coming through the door.
And that's why they bring Ivy Hilliard, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing.
He and Jamal probably got together because they knew a lot of people would be coming to see Kanye.
Right. Right. So that's a stick. Right? And
mm-hmm.
I mean
yep.
that's what he's known for. He's known for raising offerings. He's known for getting people to that I wouldn't even go up there and give a penny.
Not one dime. Nothing.
No.
And other scriptural mandated behavior, such as not being adulterous and other things. Now,
if you commit incest or if you commit adultery or rape, as he was saying, all of that falls
mm-hmm.
under the blood, all of that falls under redemption.
Yes.
Tithing falls under worship. See? And he's mixing the two. He's mixing the two.
Right.
And so... Jesus didn't pay for your worship. He paid for your redemption. That's what he paid for.
That's right. And tithing is something, giving of any type is something you do when and how you want to, you know. It's
right.
not a mandate or a law that you have to do it or else.
Right. Absolutely. Now, If you fall for the game that you have to go up there when they're calling up the $20,000 people, you already got
mm-hmm.
your, first of all, you're in a cult. If you are,
right.
if you're involved with that kind of, you're in a cult. That's number one. God is not with that organization. Number two, if you already gave that way, Jesus says you already have your reward. Men already know what you gave.
You did it to be seen of men.
There you go. So, you see, everything that they do is unscriptural. Everything. There's not
mm-hmm.
one thing there that honors God. It just keeps them in the money. That's all it does. And listen, this is a very bad economy. It's
yes,
bad.
It is.
And these jokers are hurting. And Creflo was so stupid. At his timing, they're saying this moron's timing is just so bad.
Because some of them are just starting to really turn the corner from the COVID lockdowns and stuff. So,
right?
Yeah, you're right. His timing couldn't have been worse. But Creflo's like, look, I gotta watch out for my own stuff. You on your own.
Right. Creflo's in his lifeboat, and you can be screaming, help, help. He's rowing away. He's rowing away.
Right.
That's it.
What the evidence of the practice of the biblical tithing principle shows us is there is a promised increase for obedience to the principle. The angel specifically tells Jacob he was blessed with the innovative, creative idea that brought him wealth, was based on his commitment to tithe. Genesis.
All right, so let's go to Genesis 31, because I will show you that the man lies.
Okay.
I will show you. Genesis 31. And it reads, it says, let's go to 31:3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So this is a private conversation between God and Jacob. Then Jacob called his wife Rachel and his wives Rachel and Leah to meet him in the field, right? Come now, the reason why he wants his wives to meet him in the field is because he doesn't want any of the servants of Laban to overhear the conversation, because they had their eye on Jacob, right?
Right.
Verse 4, then he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that he is not towards me as before, but the God of my fathers has been with me, and you know that with all my power and strength I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and has changed my wages 10 times. But God did not suffer him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, and bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and has given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, and I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift now up thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban have done unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made your vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So now notice, if you notice, God has financially protected Jacob, and Jacob has not yet even given a tithe.
No, he hasn't.
And
it wasn't Jacob's idea. God did all that, and he showed him in a dream, looks like, but it wasn't Jacob's idea. It was all God's doing.
Right. So when Abihidius says, you see, it worked because he tithed. No, he hadn't tithed yet.
Right.
He hadn't been to Bethel in 20 years. He hadn't been there. He hadn't gone to the spot where God met him. So he hadn't given one tithe, and yet he's rich. That's because God's favor was on him, not because he gave, but because God gave. And by the way, and it all goes back to, this is what it all goes back to. Does God need a pair of sneakers that he needs my money?
No. He's not hungry.
Right. When these guys approach us on Sunday mornings and they say there's a need in the house, yeah, the need is yours. You have a need. You want this or you want that. That's why you're ready. It's not because God has a need, or it's not because you're meeting the need of the little old lady who's taking the bus to church while you're asking people for $65 million. See, you're not me. It's your need that is being met through the tithe. God doesn't see that. God doesn't get that. You're getting
more often than not, the people in the church don't even see it.
Right. So, and they say, well, we keep the place open. Yeah, because the place is a stick-up joint. Of course you're going to. I mean, that's why the Jews of Jesus' day kept the joint open, because Jesus said you turned it into a den of thieves. This is where people come to get mugged.
Right.
This is how you attract them to get mugged. Of course you're going to keep it open. Because you don't have to chase them down. They come to you. And they sit there, and then you stick them up. So when he says, oh, the angel is saying, I blessed him because he tithed. No, he hadn't tithed yet.
I don't see an angel here. This was a conversation with God himself, wasn't it?
Well, again, when it says in verse 11, when it says the angel of God, that's a reference to the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. But and it's the same angel that Jacob wrestles with in chapter 32 where his name is changed, right?
Right.
Same place. So same character, same personage, which is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Lord Jesus before he took on. And, of course, the word angel, people get tripped up because they think it's a created being when really the word angel means messenger,
mm-hmm.
messenger of God. And sometimes a donkey, like Balaam's donkey, could be a messenger from God. Sometimes men and women can be messengers of God. Sometimes real angels can be messengers of God. Sometimes God plays the role of messenger.
Right.
But so we need to be careful with the word angel because a lot of people think automatically it's a winged creature, not necessarily. All right.
Verses 31 and 13. Dependence on God as source and sustainer. The tithes and offerings are the expression of one's dependence on God as source and sustainer, given from a grateful heart as Abraham does before the law of Moses. God uses the life of Abraham to model so many other godly principles, and thus so is this giving to the tithes to the high priest Melchizedek. It is interesting.
There you go again. We don't have a high priest like Ivy Hillier thinks, because the book of Hebrews says our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell me,
how can
I get my tithe to Jesus? You tell me.
Does he
have a mailbox? Does he have an account I can wire it to? Somebody tell me how. Because Ivy Haley likes to say, we're in the new covenant. You know, we're in the new covenant, and Jesus didn't abolish anything. You're right. He's the high priest, not you. So why are you getting
it? That's right.
You see,
and they're not even Levites.
Exactly. Unless they're, you know, those black Israelites.
Right. I don't think God honors that.
No, absolutely not.
In the book of Hebrews, that the majority of Bible scholars credit to the Apostle Paul as the author, that the tithing principle is addressed with much fanfare and is being taught to the church. Here's what it says. And here men that die gives tithe, but there he receiveth them for whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. So we cannot take the teachings of the Apostle Paul concerning giving of offerings to negate the established principle of giving the tithe. It is incorrect to say that the Apostle Paul never mentioned tithing, because in Hebrews, a book that the Apostle Paul authored and wrote, it is addressed.
Yes, but he addresses it because the Hebrews were comparing the two testaments, and they were claiming, and this is why the epistle to the Hebrews was written, because they were going back to Judaism.
Right.
And the author of Hebrews is trying to tell them, why are you going back to something inferior when you have something superior? Aaron was a priest who died, and after him, every other priest died. But you have a high priest that lives forever. He's of the order of Melchizedek. So he doesn't mention tithing to promote tithing. He mentions tithing to show the superiority of Christ over Aaron.
Right.
See? That's the, you know, and the reason why Christ is superior to Aaron, because if you follow the logic, Abraham gave the tithe to the original Melchizedek, right? Okay. So in Abraham's loins, in Abraham's body, you had Isaac. And inside Isaac, you had Jacob. And inside Jacob, you had Levi. So if you follow the argument in Hebrews 7, since Isaac and Jacob and Levi were in the body of Abraham when he gave the tithes, they were all represented. So Abraham gave the tithe to a superior person, being Melchizedek. So Levi, who is the tribe of the priest, who gave you Aaron, was also in Abraham when he gave the tithe to Melchizedek, meaning that everybody in Abraham was inferior to Melchizedek and to his Christ. That's the argument.
Right.
Paul is not saying, listen, you got to tithe. No, he doesn't even stress that notion.
Right, but that's how they take it out of context and twist it.
Right, absolutely.
Now, it's really a matter of credibility here. Now, this part of my response is most sensitive, laced with love, but brute honesty must prevail. Down through time, when men recant their beliefs and choose to embrace some new thought and teaching, it really puts their credibility with others outside of their congregational circles in question.
Now, there he makes a good argument, which we knew Creflo Dollar was shooting himself in the foot, because you and I said,
right,
okay, so why don't you pay all these people back, because now your credibility is shot, because you basically told them a lie. So here, now, of course, he doesn't care about Creflo at this point. Creflo is a rabid lone wolf that needs to be shot down for the benefit of the wolf pack.
Right. George Bloomer shot at him, but IV is just going on ahead and putting the bullet right in him.
That's it. He says, oh, this is sensitive. I want to do this with love, but he's got no credibility. And that's right. So notice.
He doesn't.
The old adage, sometimes the devil speaks the truth.
He sure does.
Right? All right.
Yeah.
That the Apostle Paul authored and wrote, it is addressed. Now, it's really a matter of credibility here. Now, this part of my response is most sensitive, laced with love, but brute honesty must prevail. Now, down through time, when men recant their beliefs and choose to embrace some new thought and teaching, it really puts their credibility with others outside of their congregational circles in question. So, for 30 years, you have taught what you taught. For 30 years, you have taught what you said about tithing was true, and even said God gave you those past revelations on tithing, and that the Holy Spirit revealed insights to you on those truths on tithing, and even testified that tithing was the cause of your success. And now you say God is telling you something different from what he told you all those years? I'm confused not on God, on the scriptures, but on one's ability to hear the genuine voice of God on this matter and others.
Boy, he put like five silver bullets in him right there.
Pow! Shots fired and put on target. You right.
That's it. That's it.
Wow.
See, you can't see the more. And that's why these guys never repent. We saw Creflo Dollar repent, but he didn't repent.
He's not really repenting, but
right,
for the sake of argument.
Right, correct. And that's why one of his spiritual sons, you played the video where he's disappointed. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You didn't repent. You didn't say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. See, Ivy right now just put the bullets in him. He's wounded. But because Creflo runs in his own circle, he'll be fine. It's not
gonna
hurt
him. I saw the video of him when he was at Kenneth Copeland's conference he does every year, and Kenneth embraced him. You know, no problem between the two of them. And that's who he's really under, or his mentor, if you really want to get technical about it.
Right.
Creflo ran in those circles with Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, those guys.
Right, right.
Leroy Thompson, but Leroy was in that crowd as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Our personal spiritual growth does not alter what God has said or being said. Scripture is clear. God is not a liar. So my question is, will you hear something different from God tomorrow that will contradict other matters that you have taught as spiritual truth? Will you get a different, unique, outside-the-box perspective on some other spiritual, fundamental spiritual truth and say God said it? Credibility is shaken when there is inconsistency in teaching. So when this brother initially came out with the teaching revelation on first fruit, it was clouded, confusing, and erroneous. But corrected, God is not the author of confusion. One cannot establish the validity of truth based on the populace believing of that truth. So to say, the principle of tithing is erroneous because only a small percentage of believers in church embrace tithing is erroneous and dishonest. It is like saying that forgiveness is not the order of God because few believers actually practice the level of forgiveness that's taught in Scripture. I'll say that again. It's like saying that forgiveness is not the order of God because very few believers actually practice the level of forgiveness taught in Scripture. This approach of mocking truth is most egregious. Now, it is amazing to me that after years of teaching the truth, personally profiting from teaching that truth, and building a ministry on that truth that was said came from God, and now disavowing that truth is most troubling and leans toward unintentional fraud, for which we must cover with prayer.
He said, he's a fraudster. Boy, I mean, they're putting bullets and daggers. That's it.
they kicking him and everything else to make sure.
That's it.
But I mean, I'm wondering, did they listen to the whole sermon? I mean, he's got several in this series. There's even a part two to the one we listened to. But even listening to that one, you can see he really only switched from emphasizing the Old Testament and the Malachi and all those other scriptures, and now he's switching over to the New Testament part of it, which he's been doing for several years now.
Right.
Hasn't changed anything other than the package.
They don't care because tithing is a sacred cow. You can't tithe. You can't touch tithing. You can't touch it.
Right.
They won't let you. See, that's it. It's a sacred cow. It's the cash cow. That's what that is. All these people have built their empire on it.
It's like the Gambinos deciding that they no longer want to, or they're going to publicly denounce prostitution, gambling, drug dealing, and all these things that they do use to make their money. So the other crime families probably won't like that too much.
Right. Right. Same thing happened to Michael Corleone when he tried to go to Vegas, right? He said to them,
yes.
he said to them, you guys can keep the drugs. You guys can keep the prostitution. You can keep the bootlegging. You can keep the gambling. We're going to Vegas. We're going to put a legitimate face on this thing. That's when they all came after him.
That's right.
Because you're not allowed to go against the grain. You're just not. You're just not. And to think that you can. Now, of course, that one guy, that one spiritual son of Creflo who said, I don't get this. He didn't apologize. I'm disappointed. He ripped us off. He told us that we would be cursed. Creflo does have his issues with that crowd.
Yes.
But they were gone anyway. In his mind, they were gone anyway. And he's going to get him a new crowd. He's going to get him a new crowd. So I don't even know if Evander Holyfield goes there anymore.
I hadn't seen or heard of Evander being around in years.
Yeah, I don't know. After all that money he gave, and there's not a little bobblehead of Evander Holyfield in the whole building?
Nope.
A little bobblehead? Yeah. There's no bobblehead night for Evander Holyfield?
You don't see him on the front row anymore.
No, absolutely not. Got burned.
This is a matter of collaboration. The Jerusalem Council met to establish the witness behavior.
There you go. He's calling the five families. This is a matter of collaboration. The Jerusalem Council met.
The commission has got to call a meeting on this.
That's it. They're just going to slaughter them. They're going to slaughter them.
Yeah.
So are they
wanting Kenneth Copeland to do something to him? Because if Creflo kind of respects anybody, it would be Kenneth.
Yeah, but Kenneth is not going to go against Creflo. He's not.
No,
he's not.
I don't believe he will. Because if he was, he would have said something by now. And I've looked, and I haven't seen where he addressed this. And at the conference, they were all buddy-buddy.
Sure. And Kenneth would have disavowed him.
Yeah, he would have.
He would have disavowed him. See? But he didn't. So, no. This is the black mafia going after him. This is the black mafia going after him.
For the Gentile believers and concluded that instead of imposing circumcision on all the restrictions of the law of Moses upon them, they imposed an itemized few. It is obvious to me that those in the early church were still practicing several law of Moses mandates as they had not yet come into full knowledge of grace. But to say that since they did not include tithing in their list was that it was eliminated as a practice is a stretch at best. On the tithing matter as a principle and not a law is accepted by most of the scholars of scripture down through ages because it predated the law. The proven voices of the church down through centuries have examined the truth and have embraced it as a settled matter. Scripture teaches there is wisdom in the multitude of counsel. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Where there is no counsel, people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Again, if a chicken goes to get counsel from a multitude of foxes. What chance?
That chicken's going to get eaten alive.
What chance does that chicken have of getting out of that council alive? Zero.
Zero.
So don't give me that baloney about a multitude of council. Because the multitude of council and all of these television networks, God TV, TBN, the Word Network, you name the carrier. They've been ripping people off for years. Daystar, Marcus Lamb, he's been that guy till the day he died. He was ripping people off.
Yep.
And a multitude of counsel. You kidding me?
No, they want to set him straight.
Yeah. Well,
they want their pound of flesh from Creflo.
Right. Now they know. Listen. It's like me. I know that Jensen Franklin is never, ever, ever, ever going to look my way. He's too big. You think he's going to give little old me, country bumpkin me, you think he's going to give me the time of day ever for writing that trilogy on the Spirit of Python? Never. But I can still do great damage to his teaching career by pushing the books. The same thing here. They know Creflo's out of their reach. They know that. But it's a double-edged sword. Ruin his credibility and keep the Tizers in our camp.
Yes. Basically telling them, showing them he has no credibility. He's an admitted liar and a fraud,
right.
So don't listen to him. Listen
right.
to us.
Correct. Correct. Now, anyone with any common sense knows no one is advanced. No one in these churches has gotten anything. They're broke. There's no financial education in any of these churches. They don't even teach people how to use a checking account. There is no financial education whatsoever. It's exploitation is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
Proverbs 11:14. So we must be very careful in pursuing, or should I say rejecting, longstanding spiritual truth from the masses of proven voices to accommodate a popular personality. I'll say it again. We must be careful in pursuing, or should I say rejecting, longstanding spiritual truth from the masses of proven voices to accommodate a popular personality. By all accounts, the anti-teaching against biblical tithing is in the minority. The writings of the Apostle Paul addresses the deliberation concerning the offering matter and never strikes down the tithe, and to do so would have contradicted what Jesus said concerning it. Remember, the heart of God was for man to give the tithe and offering. The metric for the tithe is set, but the offering is a matter of the spiritual purposed heart, which is the teaching that Paul addressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Now listen, even famous international teachers of grace, of the grace message, Joseph Prince, does not teach against tithing as a principle and uses Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8 to validate it as a practice for today. I could easily go down the list of notable teachers in this generation and past generations who studied and taught and lived by the principle of tithing. The testimonies of famous tithers who are also irrefutable evidence of the power of this principle. Now, we can name scores who began to tithe when they were poor and then became rich. Mr. Cromwell, the founder of Quaker Oats. Mr. Colgate, founder of Colgate Soaps, etc. Mr. Proctor of Ivory Soaps. Mr. Matthias Baldwin of Baldwin Locomotive Industry, John D. Rockefeller, the multi Rockefeller Sr., the multimillionaire.
When you look at all those people, they had a rich daddy.
Yeah, and some of them were just wicked men. He hasn't named any great scholars or preachers from the past, you know, any of that. He's naming these rich business tycoons.
Right. So, again, you know, it's a lame argument. And by the way, think about this. Let's say he mentions five people. Let's just say he mentions five. How about the $5 trillion that have been ripped off?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He'll mention five successful. But how about the $5 trillion that have gotten ripped off?
And most of the people that he would be able to name are people that are at the top of a pyramid somewhere.
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, you know, that's like
saying
John Kerry.
Especially if you're talking preachers or something.
Sure. Absolutely. That's like when Paula White says, you know, why am I so rich? Because I'm the number one tither in the church. Yeah, but you put in the tithe and you put it in and then you take it out. You put it in with the left hand and you take it out with the right hand. And when you take out with the right hand, you take out 30 times more.
Take more besides, yep.
Exactly. So that's no argument.
Richard DeVos, the founder of Amway, Buffalo Dollar himself, you know. All right, the example of being unable to tithe, the example of the poor being unable to tithe and the rich being able to tithe that was given in the teaching was most confusing at best. To say that a rich man can tithe more easily than a poor man is not necessarily so, because that rich person could be financially strapped with debt and other financial obligations, that giving tithes and offerings would be difficult for him as well. The tithing principle, whether practiced by the poor or the rich, involves a willingness to trust God, to reward your obedience and honoring him through the principle. So then, it is fair to both the poor and the rich, because it is proportional giving out of what one has. I began to tithe when I was poor, and in the natural, could not afford to do it. But when I did, I experienced increase that brought me out of poverty. We must not forget that biblical tithing is a spiritual principle which God honors and blesses. Finally, this is a matter of conscience. After all is said and done, the decision to embrace the principle of biblical tithing is a personal decision. Since the true test of the heart is the act of positioning one's treasure, those whose hearts are not fully committed will see this new teaching against biblical tithing as a scapegoat and rejoice in it. Others who see the mandated metric for honoring God as an expression of his lordship and their dependence on him as a source and sustainer of their life will continue to do so. You don't have to tithe out of fear and threat of being cursed, but you can do so out of obedience, gratitude, and in expectation of the promised increase. It's really a personal matter of the heart. You know, I love the passage in the book of Timothy where he is instructed by Paul, and I'm wrapping it up. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. This is the New Living Translation. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject truth and chase after myths. Truth be told, the principle of biblical tithing did not start with the law of Moses and did not end with the fulfillment of the law of Moses through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Some will definitely gravitate to this teaching with an attempt to justify cutting back on their support for the work of God, but truth always prevails. Though when teaching this, it was clearly taught that under grace, motivation for giving offerings, that it could and should exceed the metric of tithing, but those who don't want to support the things of God will not adhere to it. The echo of the quote from the 1968 famous speech by Martin Luther King is appropriate here, that truth crushed will rise again. Down through ages, voices have risen to crush this amazing truth on the principle of biblical tithing, but it continues to rise and be embraced and change the lives of the faithful. So to say that we are not mandated to give the tithe as ascribed under the law of Moses is accurate. But to say that biblical principle of tithing is not for believers today is erroneous. Now, in the mid-70s, I was not a tither, very poor. And I was introduced to the tithing principle by a non-tither. I was trying to borrow money from him. And he began to tell me, Ira, if you will tithe, God will bless you. Man, life with me then was tough. I lived in an apartment that was the estate, the staging ground for the projects. I had dropped out of school, and I had a minimum wage job of $65 a week.
And whose fault is that, that you dropped out of school and you had a minimum wage job?
That's his decision.
That was his choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched the movie the other day. I think I watched it like 20 times. Hidden, what does they call that? Hidden? It's the space movie.
Hidden Figures? With the women,
Hidden Figures, right. Hidden Figures. It's a hit in my house,
okay.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
We watched it, and they didn't drop out of school.
No, they didn't.
They have no minimum. They're working at NASA. Right? And by the way, those women went to church, according to the movie now. There's no mention of the tithe. Nothing. They have to go and take exams. They have to go get certified. They have to go learn every time there was a new challenge, right? Okay.
Right.
They I don't see them tithing in the movie.
Me.
I just see them going to school and doing what they got to do, showing up for work, showing up on time,
and being
exceptional
in their respective positions.
Right. Absolutely. So this crybaby story. I lived in an apartment that was. I dropped out of school and I had minimum wage job. Dude, that's you. Those are your choices. Don't put that on anybody but you.
My needs had needs. And here I was being introduced to tithing. I wasn't a pastor. I was just one of the lay ministers at church. And at my church, they didn't teach tithing. But I read the scripture myself. And without the
Do you believe that? That he read the scripture
no.
himself? I don't believe it.
No.
And
no,
he just admitted. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and even if he did, obviously it was the devil whispering in his ear and not God.
Yeah. And he just admitted he went to a church and was a lay minister in a church where they didn't push tithing.
That's right.
They didn't push it.
They might have they may have had dues, or people just gave free will, or they would raise an offering for
mm-hmm.
specific things.
Sure. Absolutely. So here now he's going to turn into Hidden Figures. We're going to have to add him. We're going to have to call Kevin Costner and tell him, could you add Ivy Hilliard into Hidden Figures? Here's a story of a man who gave tithes, and he just skyrocketed into outer space.
Revelation of grace, and without the revelation of the word of faith, but simply seeing that God would bless me if I honored him with a tenth of my increase and an offering. And I did so, trembling and trusting. I gave God the $66.50 and a $5 offering. Yeah, I went from a dollar giver. That's all, because every Sunday I had my dollar. But I went from a dollar giver to an $11.50 giver after I read the scripture on tithes and offerings. And it was so bad. My life was so bad prior to, I mean, it was bad. I worked in the place, Heitman Baron Cortez, off of Crest Street in Houston, Texas. I worked in the place called Steel Bay, and I was required to have steel toe shoes, but I couldn't afford them. So I had imitation steel toe shoes. So I was violating the safety policy. So after tithing 2 weeks, I come to work and they said, the boss wants to see you. Fear gripped me because I said they found out that I don't have the steel toe shoes and they're probably going to fire me. So I walked up those long stairs to his office. When I got there, he opened the door with a smile on his face and said, Ira, he says, have a seat. And when I sat down, he said, your supervisor has quit. And he has recommended you to take his job. Man, I'm going, huh? Because I had no idea. And he said, but you know here that seniority rules the day. And you have the least seniority in your department. But management met this morning. And management, we changed the policy so that you could get the job and get the promotion. I'm about to shout here. I got to be careful. And so he said, your increase is going to be on your next check. Now, this is the end of the week, but they paying me for being supervisor for the whole pay period.
Kevin Costner has to redo the movie and include Ivy Hilliard. I'm telling you, this is baloney. This is
exactly
baloney.
And who knows if this story is even true? But
right.
we'll give him that maybe this did happen.
Right.
But it wasn't because of tithing. You know, it was other things, or it could have been I hate to put it this way, but it could have been a affirmative action thing, you know, back, you know, during those times. Wouldn't he say it was in the 70s?
Who knows what it was, but here's the thing. Don't tell me it was tithing.
No.
Don't tell me that.
Or he was just a good worker. He could have been, you know.
Listen,
and they wanted to give him a chance.
If you don't go to work, I mean, look, let's put it this way. When he didn't go to school, he didn't get the diploma.
No.
Right?
Okay. Tithing didn't change that.
Right. So now, he is going to work every day, and he's doing what he's got to do like he should have went to school. And because of that, he got a promotion. Okay, so you learned your lesson. Don't cut class. If you cut the job, if you call in sick every day at work, you're not getting a promotion.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you probably get fired eventually.
Exactly. So this is nonsense. Oh, I want to shout.
But bro, you hear stories like this all the time. All these so-called testimonies like this in churches where they teach this stuff, you hear that all the time. It's like, no, maybe you just did what you were supposed to do. Get a check in the mail from the insurance company. It's probably because you overpaid them somewhere. Not tithing.
Absolutely. The other day, I got a letter from National Grid that because of Senator Gillibrand and Senator Schumer, they got a rebate for all the people in New York on their electric bill for 1 month. So I opened up my electric bill, and it said 000. Now, that wasn't
right.
Because of tithing, because I haven't tithed. That was
right.
Because Schumer and Gillibrand gave the people some money. That's all that is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be explained away. But to make it all about, you know, listen, you know and I know that the Lord's got you covered. He's got me covered. He's got covered every one of his children. But to make it as though that God only covers us because we give makes the gospel a gospel of works and not of grace. We can never attach the blessings of God to anything.
Or like you said earlier, that God's love and provision and protection can be bought, or even that his salvation can be bought.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Another gospel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you may say that's coincidental, but I don't. So I kept tithing. My tithes go up and my offering go up. I'm seeing a principle of increase that works, that when I honor God as source and sustainer of my life, and when I do that, God promises to bless me. We always talk about the curses under the law, but what about the blessings under the law? And so I kept doing this. And then God would give me ideas of how to work more efficiently and bring the department more efficiently. And I got a raise. And then one day a guy walks up to me. His name was Arnold Gonzalez. And Arnold says to me, "Ira, you're a mighty smart guy to be in a place like this." I took offense. "Wait a minute, you work here too." He said, "No, this is just my second job." He said, "I'm really a computer operator."
Wow. A second job. So think about this. You tithe, and where do you land? Getting a second job. He just shot himself in the foot. Wait a minute. You got a raise and a raise and a raise, but now you need a second job? That makes no sense. But let's hear the story.
Maybe he's gonna switch jobs or something. Let's see.
Well, let's see. Let's see what the story is.
"I'm gonna tell my boss about you." I say, "Okay, yeah, all right." Next day he shows up with a business card from Southwest Data Management. The president was Frank Curtin. He says, "Frank says give him a call." I said, "Okay." So I called Frank Curtin. He said, "Yeah, Arnold told me about you, but young man, let me tell you, we don't have any openings." And Arnold said, "You're a smart guy." I could tell then he was just patronizing me because of Arnold. And I said, "I'll come in tomorrow." He said, no, "If you're just in the area, stop by. We'll put your application on file. All of our operators have gone to trade school." I convinced him to let me come in the next day. So I go in the next day. He tells me, "We don't have any openings. But Arnold said, you're a smart guy." I fill out the application. And just as the interview was ending, he said, wait a minute. He said, let me give you this little test. He gives me an aptitude test. He comes out of the room with a big grin on his face. And he says, "This has never happened in the history of our company. Now, we got to understand, you know, this company has never hired a black man. All of the operators were either white or Hispanic. He says, this has never happened in the history of our company. Nobody has ever made a perfect score on this aptitude test. We don't have an opening, but we're going to make one for you, Jesus.
With all the tithing he's done by this time, he should be right next to Joe Biden. He should be Biden's vice president.
Oh,
are you
boy.
Listen,
like a yarn being spun to me.
Absolutely. This is one big yarn. One big yarn.
And yawn, Y-A-W-N, too.
That's right. Horrible.
My goodness.
I got the opportunity because of my ties. Here I am.
No, man, it was your friend.
Yeah.
And it was because
basically,
you called.
It's not what you know, but who you know. The guy that he knew gave him the card. He put in the word. He followed up on that, and the people were impressed with him, so they made a position for him. That happens a lot, regardless of who you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, it is what it is. I mean, Quasimodo got the job at Notre Dame to ring the bells. He just had a special skill set. That's all it was.
Yep.
Nobody
Igor
could climb
had
up
a
there.
Special skill set to help Dr. Frankenstein, right?
Correct. That's all it is. We don't have to get all teary eye and want to cry like a little sissy man. And you know, please.
Now, I'm standing next to guys who had to go to school to get the opportunity my tithe gave me. And from that opportunity, I went on to become a system analyst, and I never went to school for it. Have no degree for it. In every situation, companies change their policy to hire me, to promote me. It's too late to tell me tithing doesn't work. It's too late to tell me offerings don't work. My experience is.
And that's why you figured it out. You left your system manager, whatever job you had, and you created your own pyramid. And
that's
you figured
right.
it out. And that's why you left all those jobs where you were somebody.
And
listen.
And notice with his stories and a lot of others I've heard, there's no real thanks to God for providing or taking care or making a way or whatever it is. It's all about tithing and what you did, your works, your intellect, your whatever. That's where the thanks and the credit is given, and maybe and probably to the pastor that teaches it, but not as much thanks to God or credit to him for making these things possible. If God is even, if you believe that God provided, they don't talk about that as much as the other things.
Yeah, because again, he's trying to get people to think like him, carnally minded.
Mm-hmm.
You do this,
yeah,
and you'll have promotions. You'll have, you know. And what I learned in life is, either you apply yourself and you get things, or you don't apply yourself and then you'll be getting $65 a week,
or be jobless.
Right. Absolutely. So. No, I'm not buying it. It's, you know, And of course, he brings out the do-rag and he's crying and, you know, he's all acting up and because he doesn't want to lose that money.
Right. He's basically telling people, don't listen to Creflo. He has no credibility since he's an admitted liar now, which is true.
Yep.
But
sure.
He's telling the truth for nefarious reasons.
Absolutely. For self-purpose, for self-interest.
Self-serving yeah. reasons. Yep.
Yep. All right. We have one more minute on this audio.
Okay.
Never at the mercy of your theological arguments. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Now, I envision a resurgence in the believers embracing the principle of biblical tithing and giving offerings, not out of compulsion or the fear of the curse, but because the Holy Spirit will take this time of controversy and will stir their hearts to trust God with this principle. There are going to be those who are poor, like I was, and he'll say, I have no other choice but to trust God to bring me out, and he will. So I declare that the ranks of the committed in giving tithes and offerings are about to increase.
All right, that's where it ended. Now, here's the funny thing. In the early church, the poor didn't pay tithes. The poor got tithes. They were fed.
No. And even under the law, I don't think the poor gave tithes. I don't think they
no.
were required to, especially if they weren't farmers or had you know, crops and things like that or livestock.
A tithe out of zero is zero.
Right. And they love to point to the widow's two mites, but she wasn't tithing. She was giving an offering, right?
Correct. Correct. So, yeah, this guy's mad, you know. Of course, Creflo, I'm sure that a lot of people the first couple of weeks were holding back from giving. And
yeah.
And that's why these guys had to address it.
Right. And
I'm
they,
sure
or
these
they
guys
were
took
afraid
a hit.
That they were afraid that people were going to stop giving because I think some questions were being asked, and that's why George and Rod and Ivy in particular felt it necessary to get on there right away after the first sermon to address it.
Right.
Because you're right. They didn't want this to really start taking root in people's mind because people have already been questioning it because of people writing books and doing sermons or whatever to counteract this teaching. And then COVID hit, and they took a big hit with that too. So people are just starting to figure out some things. So
right.
Creflo's timing couldn't have been worse.
No. And he's insulated, you know, he's got, look, one of the things you learn in ministry is to insulate yourself, right? I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of organizations, right? The day that they tell me bye-bye, it won't hurt me. Why? Because I don't take money from them.
Right.
So I don't have to guard what I say. I don't have to, you know, if they get offended. Sometimes, you know, I do this teaching on Mondays and Thursdays, and you got all these vipers on there, right? And I do the teaching, and you can hear a pin drop, and, you know, and that's it. Now, if you don't want me, call me and tell me we don't need you, and I'll be gone, and it won't hurt me because
mm-hmm.
I don't get money from you anyway.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's just the way, you know. Now, again, I'm appreciative when someone does, but But I'm not banking on that. And most times I'm turning people off.
Right.
I'm getting people mad. Why? Because I'm messing with their money. I'm messing with their whole Episcopal structure. I'm messing
they
with
tell
the
us,
fact that
they tell us to trust God, but they don't.
Correct. Absolutely. So, Creflo has got his own. You know, it's like when you got your own water well. You don't care what your neighbor does at his house.
Right.
Because you pump you got your own private well. You got your own
right.
private well. It doesn't come down pipes from anywhere, you know. You're not tied in that way. You got your own private well. Great show. Great show. Ivy Hilliard, you can tell. He's working overtime. Yeah, they put as many bullets as they could on Creflo. He's wounded. He's wounded, but, you know, it doesn't affect him.
He'll be okay.
He'll be okay. He'll survive. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I was looking at Creflo, and he looks kind of scrawny.
Yeah, I was noticing that, too. Is he looks sickly, or Jesse maybe
sure.
he's lost a lot of weight or something, but he looks funny, you know.
His jackets don't fit him right. They look big.
Mm-hmm.
His face looks tuckered, like, you know, life has been
sucked
out of him.
You know, a lot of these guys are sick, but they just don't admit it because you know they
can't. That's true. Correct.
But this, to me, this is just
yep.
Creflo is a leopard that hadn't changed his spots. He might put some dye or something on there so you can't see the spots, but they're still there. Nothing has changed, just the outside packaging of what he always taught. This is Aunt Jemima.
Absolutely. I want to apologize to everyone for my constant coughing, and I want to thank you for bearing with me, and thank you so much.
Oh, no problem.
Sister AJ, great show. You have the last word.
Well, as always, just thank everyone so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.